This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free, it's nicotine-free, it's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Do we have a Constitution? Tough question, right? I mean, maybe you think it's easy. Maybe, well, yeah, I have my pocket constitution right here. But have you ever sat and thought about it when you look at where we are now? Do we actually have one? I realize there's something in existence. There's some words on a piece of paper. What do they matter? What do they matter? I feel like those of us on the right who loved the Constitution, I feel like maybe we're clinging to the past, and this is what I mean. The left just shredded it. They've shredded it over and over and over again. It's completely meaningless now. We walk around with it, and I've done this before. Shoot, I have one in my pickup truck. And it's an awesome document, and it brought so much freedom. But if people don't know it, if people don't care about it, what is a law? What does something written down matter if people don't care about it and people won't enforce it? The truth is, we're talking tonight about a constitutional crisis and the Constitution in crisis. The truth is, what Constitution? We don't have one because half the country hates it. They hated the fact that that wonderful document put limits on what the federal government is allowed to do to you, and they went on a 100-year campaign to burn that thing, and they torched it good. There's a great line from the old Roman general Pompey Magnus that I love so much, when he was busy abusing people's rights and stuff. He did that a lot, but he had this line because someone quoted it. That's against the law. You can't do that. It's against the law. That's what they told Pompey. And Pompey said to him, do not quote laws to men with swords. The truth is this. The Constitution, it's nothing now. I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so because it helped give us the blueprint for how our country was supposed to be laid out. It was a wonderful document. The left destroyed it. The right, we have to own this. The right wasn't strong enough to stop them. And that's just the truth. And if you tell a communist, as I've told you, that's what we have now, you tell them something's against the law, against the Constitution, they're going to give you the modern day version of Pompey Magnus. Don't quote laws to men with swords. Do you remember? It always struck me. Do you remember what happened this summer when Antifa and Black Lives Matter burned down a bunch of American cities? And you remember what happened when all those people went to jail, all the communist street thugs? Got let right out of jail by the DA. You and I are sitting here screaming, that's against the law. Property damage, you can't do that. That's against the law. Is it? Is it? When the person decides who will be prosecuted for what, says there is no law, then there is no law. Maybe we need a new constitution, or maybe we need a new education system to teach Americans about why the one we have is so important and why it's the only thing standing between them and tyranny. And remember this, when we talk about politically fighting, and I'm talking about politically here, but remember this, our history is not one of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence giving us freedoms. You and I like to think that's true. We've all seen those paintings of the founding fathers on the steps of Philadelphia arguing over the Constitution. Now, that's where our freedoms came from, right? No, that was just a piece of paper until a bunch of Americans had the guts to go out and shoot a bunch of British people in the face. No, I don't want you shooting anybody in the face, but you do have to know. We have to win the political battles for that document to ever mean anything again. Let's be honest with ourselves when we talk about the Constitution in crisis, post-constitutional. There is no Constitution right now. I want it to come back. I hope, Lord willing, you want it to come back. But we don't have one right now. Laws are whatever they decide they are. When you talk about post-constitution, I'm not gonna rehash old things, but I want you to think about this for a moment and think about how scary this is. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the federal law enforcement arm for the United States of America, they intentionally falsified documents so they could get a FISA warrant to spy on an American citizen and an opponent of the then president of the United States of America. This all came out. This, nothing I just said is some rumor. This is all a fact. All this information came out and nobody's in jail. One guy got in that much trouble for it. Kevin Kleinsmith, FBI lawyer, he got probation. You see, what do you think would happen if you falsified evidence for something? What do you think would happen to you? We don't have a constitution because we don't have laws. We have two different justice systems in the United States of America. We have a justice system for the elites. We have a justice system for the people who are good little servants to Big Brother, and then we have a justice system to you and I. How many of the people in the insurrection on the 6th, how many of them have had their charges just dismissed because the local DA won't press charges? You looked into that? Oh, they're throwing those people on no-fly lists. They're throwing the book at all of those people. The Constitution. I think we're in very, very, very deep trouble in this country, and I will tell you something else. I call these people communists for a reason. They are. They're cultural Marxists. And remember this about communists. One of the first things they do is tear apart the history of a nation as they're tearing apart the people of a nation. And the only thing standing between America's communists and you, well, it is in that Constitution. It's the Second Amendment. It's you making sure you're able to protect yourself. That's why they're going after it so, so hard right now. That's why they're going after you so hard right now. These people, they're not going to get tired. They're not going to back away. They're not going to decide they have enough power. They're going to keep coming, and they're going to keep coming. So maybe it's time for our side to stop crying about the Constitution. Start playing offense. We just had full Republican control for 2 years and then half Republican control. I saw a lot of this about big tech crushing people's freedoms, censorship and stuff like that. I didn't see a lot of action. I saw a lot of, we should be teaching patriotism in schools. I didn't see a lot of action. You see, unless we're willing to act, unless we are willing to use our power when we get our power, then we're never going to be able to accomplish anything. We can't let the left run roughshod over the country and completely carpet bomb the Constitution every time they get in, and then the second we take power, say, well, I can't do that. It wouldn't be constitutional. Buddy, either you step up and defeat the American communists, or I don't ever want to hear you say constitutional again, because they don't have any use for that document at all. And remember this when you hear people say, well, that's hypocritical. He's being hypocritical. Communists don't care about that. They don't care. They know they're being hypocritical. You don't follow the communist religion. Therefore, you're a heretic. That's how they look at you. Let us accept what we're facing here. And let us, if we're interested in getting back to being a constitutional republic, and I hope there are enough of us who are interested in that. If we're interested in that, let's be adult enough to realize we're never getting back there until the left is completely defeated in the United States of America. This is a pipe dream. So unless you're willing to take the fight to the communists here, don't ever say Constitution to me again. I don't want to hear it. All right, we got a great, great show for you tonight. We got to talk First Amendment, Second Amendment. We have to talk about these freedoms we have, how we lost them, how we're going to get them back. That gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? Well, let's be honest. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We got a great show. Hang on.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Well, joining me now to talk about big tech and other things is Steve Krakauer with Fourth Watch Media. Steve, I think that big tech is the most powerful entity in America, and I mean that. I think they're more powerful than our politicians, even the President of the United States. I think information is that important. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, and I think that, you know, depending on which direction of big tech we're talking about, I think places like an Amazon, which has so much data and is used by so many people around the country and obviously around the world, that's on one side of things. The other one is social media and tech companies there, Facebook, Google and YouTube. Twitter, certainly on maybe a little bit of a smaller scale. These are companies that have massive reach, particularly Facebook and Google. And when you have that sort of reach, that kind of reach is not duplicated anywhere on either side of the aisle in politics.
Steve, what do they do with the data? Because we hear about it all the time of Google has this much data and Amazon has this much data and Facebook. What do they actually do with it? Is it somebody thumbing through your messages? What is it?
No, you know, I think it's interesting to look at a story that was bubbling up a couple months ago now, which was about Robinhood and GameStop. And you know, Robinhood is an app and you are the product there, right? It's free to trade on Robinhood. All they get is your data. They know what you do with it, and they can then sell that data to other financial companies or companies across the spectrum there. So data is hugely valuable because it allows advertisers to target you. I always joke about, I talk about a product, and all of a sudden it shows up in my Instagram feed. How is this even possible? Well, you know, there are targeting methods that all of this just gets lumped together, and it may not be you personally. They don't necessarily know you or me and what I specifically am doing, but they know me as a data point and what I'm interested in, and then can learn from that and adapt to it.
I've always been fascinated why these tech guys, let's say Twitter, Facebook, Amazon too, how they ended up on the left. It seems like such an entrepreneurial Republican type thing, and these guys are all nutballs. Why?
Yeah, I think that there's sort of two different things. I don't think that they are necessarily traditional leftist in the sense of they're not necessarily Bernie Sanders or AOC or Elizabeth Warren. In fact, I think that they are in a lot of ways feel that side of it. I think one of the reasons during the 2020 primary, we saw so much money going against Bernie Sanders and towards the more traditional candidates like Joe Biden or Michael Bloomberg was because they see that side of the left so much at odds with clamping down on this innovation and ultimately the financial success that they may have. No, I think that there are certainly social elements to this that find them on the left side of the spectrum. Almost all of them are based in San Francisco, California. You know, when they're not, there might be in LA or New York. But they are not coming for, they are coming from those traditional centers, which were certainly lean left. But I think that is a big difference than the kind of the AOCs of the world, which actually want to kind of hamper the Amazons of the world.
Steve, Amazon, this Jeff Bezos, what is this guy? What drives this guy? I say he's always in a public tussle with Elon Musk. Trump is constantly blasting away. He's the world's richest man, even post-divorce, which is saying something. Where's he come from?
Yeah, look, I think that Jeff Bezos is an interesting case study, and I would actually kind of contrast that with an Elon Musk. Bezos, you know, he's obviously comes from the world of Seattle and San Francisco. He's comes from that kind of tech world, and he's built Amazon into a product that you would use for anything that you possibly need. And at the same time, he's someone who is interested in having more of his arms, not just in the tech world, but in media. You know, that's why he bought the Washington Post. He has his arms in Hollywood. It's why he's got Amazon Prime and all the new shows that are going on there that are up for Academy Awards now. It's a method that he's used to take those billions that he's made through tech and move it into areas where he feels like he can really have power and influence, which is in media and in Hollywood. And that's actually something that I've said I think Elon Musk should do. I mean, he has the billions he has from Tesla. He may not be particularly interested in media or tech, but why not Elon Musk buy Twitter or something? Actually have a say in what's happening in the world of media and social media.
I don't disagree. Well, this is what a Facebook executive had to say about Facebook.
Instagram, Facebook, Messenger, Oculus, WhatsApp, they all need to be separate companies. It's too much power when they're all one together. It needs to be broken up the way the telecom companies were broken up and the oil companies were broken up. But better than that, because those guys just came back together pretty soon after that, and I hope we've learned from that. But that's really the one thing, as you said. I would break it up, and I would remove Zuck as a...
Okay, what do we think about that? What do we think about they need to be broken up, this needs to be broken up? I hear these things and I hate these companies, but I don't know who I'm comfortable giving the power to break them up to.
I completely agree. I got real mixed feelings about this. Look, I think that if we're going to rely on our government to start getting involved in tech companies, whether it's breaking them up or whether it's tech censorship, but that leans a certain direction, certainly more of conservatives, that really makes me nervous as well. And I don't think that I would much rather rely on the marketplace to do it. And I actually personally feel differently about Mark Zuckerberg than some of these other executives. I think that in a lot of ways, his heart's in the right place. I think he's got a tremendous amount of power. And yes, we are relying on him to do what's right. And that's asking a lot. But I don't trust either political party to start cracking down on Mark Zuckerberg and what he's built. I think that that's a real slippery slope that's going to end up in a lot worse place than if we just, you know, use the market to try to crack down on it together, privately, to go after these companies as, and what we can do as a whole.
See, I don't disagree with you at all there, Steve. It makes me uncomfortable, too. But I will be honest, just where I am, I wake up in the morning and I want the government teeny tiny, you know, complete libertarian type. And then I see the damage that tech and media and education and things like that have joined together to do to this country. And by the time I go to bed, I want the National Guard storming the Facebook headquarters. There has to be something in between, right? We can't deny the damage that's being done by these huge organizations who, frankly, don't like America.
Yeah, I look at something like what happened with Twitter when the Hunter Biden story in the New York Post was published, and their first instinct was to make it so you cannot click on that link from Twitter, and they would actually ban people who posted that link. It was outrageous. And for, you know, it was actually really good to see a lot of forces in the media, including from the left, banded together to say this is wrong, and they forced Twitter to reverse that decision. And not only that, they forced them actually to change their rules for the future. Now, Twitter is still censoring conservatives a lot more than they are the left. I think that's absolutely the case. But that is the kind of a win that we need, and that's the kind of method that I would prefer to see than if whether it's the Ted Cruz's of the world or the Josh Hawley's of the world, or even the Bernie Sanders of the world starts getting involved and trying to tell Twitter what they should do. I'd much rather leave it to us to tell Twitter what they should be doing.
All right, let's talk about the First Amendment to wrap this up here. Washington Post, they tell a big lie about what Donald Trump said on a phone call with Georgia's Secretary of State election people. They now post a retraction. Well, Joe Biden's president, this retraction does no good about anything at all, and we already lost the Georgia Senate. Why shouldn't the Washington Post be held majorly, majorly liable for telling an outright lie and printing it as news?
Well, I think that it depends on what we mean by liable. Like, I think that the Washington Post, and I wrote about this in Fourth Watch, should be held responsible for getting the story wrong. It should be called out. And frankly, the ramifications should be the further corrosion of trust that's in the media, which, frankly, is already happening and has been happening for the last 4 years during the Trump era, and honestly, even going back decades, because these sorts of stories always getting wrong in one direction has proven that the media that claims to be objective is absolutely not so. But what is the liability there? I support the freedom of speech in the sense of whether it's the press to get stories wrong and then continue and try to get it better the next time or get it wrong again. And slowly, that sort of erosion from the Washington Post will have the ramifications of whether it's losing money, losing power, losing influence, and losing readership, because people are going to no longer trust them. People that are independents, not on any political side, look at a story like that and say, I can't trust anything that organization says. And that's the kind of penalty I'd like to see across the board.
I like it. Steve Krakauer, everybody. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Interesting. It's interesting going forward because, as you know, we want to be small government, don't we? We want to be small this, small that. At the same time, desperate times call for desperate measures. I don't claim to have all the answers. We'll be back.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Well, let's hope we still get to keep the Second Amendment around here, especially with all this filibuster talk. Joining me now to talk about that and other things, Diana Mueller. She is the founder of the DC Project. Diana, I've never taken the left too seriously on guns. I know they want them. I never felt like they had the power to get them. Now, I'm not so sure anymore.
Well, what the left has done and the anti-gun groups have done very successfully is create a campaign and a messaging that is very influential. This is part of the culture war. This is part of what you're seeing with the cancel culture. They have made owning guns and having and the gun itself the problem, as opposed to the behavior and the criminal behavior that we all know that is actually behind all the violence. We don't have a gun violence problem. We have a violence problem.
Okay, why don't the American people see this, or do they see it? I guess my question is, how many of the average Joe, I know how Diana Mueller feels, I know how I feel, and I know how the left-wing nutballs feel. Does the average voter still realize that this Second Amendment is the only thing keeping the wolves at bay?
Well, I think the problem there being is that you have a conglomerate of people that between the medias, the ITs, and, you know, everybody is working together a lockstep when it comes to messaging against this. And then they're censoring the people like myself and others that could be telling a different narrative. So they're definitely controlling what Americans hear and what they feel. And you know, the media is definitely the most effective devil in America, and they're teaching people and preaching and indoctrinating people to believe this narrative, and it doesn't always necessarily mean it's the truth. It can be everything from the Second Amendment and guns to police officers and how you're supposed to feel about them, to the vaccines, to lots of different things. The media has so much power right now, and they showed that. They flexed their muscles after the January 6th incident. So it's very scary, and it's very bizarre times that we're living in, that we're watching what's going on. These people who are preaching that guns are bad and walls are bad are surrounding themselves with walls and guns. So the irony is thick.
Diana, what do we make about them talking about things like going after the NRA? And it's not really about the NRA, but going after gun manufacturers, going after gun rights groups. What I can't seem to nail down is, what does that actually mean?
Well, they've done a great job of marketing the anti-gun, the anti-NRA, like the NRA is a bad guy. The NRA is me. I am the NRA. And it's built of people just like me, gun owners who preach safety, who preach education. So when they've just done a great job of demonizing and vilifying the NRA. And it's really up to our side to be vocal and be heard and be seen. You know, when we conceal carry, that's kind of working against us. When, as conservatives, if we don't want to go out and make a scene and do a rally and carry a sign, that's working against us. When we don't want to run for local office, when we don't want to take the reins back and put conservative, constitutionally sound people on school boards, that's working against us, and it's working in their favor. So our side is going to have to do a little bit more than what we've done in the past and go a little bit more on the offense. So like the DC Project, we have a free download if anybody's interested in it. It's dcproject.info. We have a free download, a one-pager that talks to you about how to have this difficult conversation with your friends, your families, and your communities, anybody really. And it talks about how, you know, we all want safety. We all want the same thing. It's just that we believe that education, not legislation, is the key.
Okay, where are we failing as, well, where's the GOP failing majorly? Not nationally, I know they suck nationally, state-wise. Which states aren't doing anything and should be doing something?
Well, you know what? It's funny when you said that, the GOP, like, we're talking about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is a constitutional issue. It is not a partisan issue. And I do believe it has become, over the past 10 years or so, very partisan issue. In the past, you know, those Blue Dog Democrats, they understood that the Constitution was a thing, and they respected it, and they knew that their constituents were gun owners. So that's what we have to really start preaching, is that the Second Amendment can be the glue that holds all of our civil liberties, all of our the Constitution, the glue, the fabric of our country. That can be the Constitution and the Second Amendment.
Well, Diana, the problem is I agree with you, but it doesn't. It's just a piece of paper. The left hates the Second Amendment. The left hates the Constitution of the United States. Bringing it up to them doesn't dissuade these people at all. So what are we doing absent them to push more gun rights?
Well, that's where I was talking about we need to start locally. The DC project is definitely, we started at the national level, but we're pushing out to the state level. And we're trying to be a counter voice and a counter visual to the Red Shirts and Moms Demand Action. They haven't been pushed back on in the entire their entire existence. So the DC project is wearing a teal for 2A campaign. And we're pushing that message out to let the that our side know that we have to take a page from their playbook and counter their messages and just be a little bit more offensive in a good way.
In a good way. Well, maybe in a bad way, too. Look, I love where your head's at because I love that you're talking about playing offense and stopping being on our heels because they're in a better position now than they've been in a long time to start chopping away at these rights. And I do think they're licking their chops at guns. I think they want guns more than they want amnesty.
I would not disagree with you there. And the D.C. project, we're headed back to Washington, D.C. to try to get some in front of some people. I mean, the Washington, D.C. is locked down. It's literally, they're not having meetings in their offices. You can't get in the Capitol. American citizens are being denied. If this isn't tyranny, it's as close to tyranny as I have ever seen.
Diana Mueller, everybody. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Look, that old saying, it almost sounds like a cliche now, the Second Amendment makes all the rest of them possible. That's true. What do you think? You've seen the way these people have conducted themselves. Think about the 4 years of Trump's presidency, the assaults, the murders on Trump's fans. You've seen the way these people conduct themselves in public. That's when they know there's a possibility of you being armed. How do you think the left will treat you if they finally do disarm you? Well, I would suggest you open up a history book and find out. All right, we'll be back. You know how the left is always complaining about conspiracy theorists this and conspiracy theories on the right and whack job conspiracies on the right? You do realize Stacey Abrams is a leftist, right? And that woman regularly spouts more insane nonsense than the guy walking around with a QAnon tattoo on his forehead. Here she is talking about Jim Crow?
The Republican state lawmakers in your home state, Georgia, have introduced almost 24 bills to make it more difficult to vote. They are going to end no-excuse mail-in voting, which has been there since 2005. They're going to reduce voting on Sundays, ask for stricter ID requirements, take away drop boxes. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in D.C., he called this effort by Georgia Republicans, quote, racist, plain and simple, unquote. Do you agree? And is there any way for Democrats to stop these efforts?
Well, first of all, I do absolutely agree that it's racist. It is a redux of Jim Crow in a suit and tie.
Joining me now to talk about that and the Constitution and if we even have one anymore, Autry Pruitt, he's the CEO of the New Journey Pack. Jim Crow? What sense? Do these people believe this stuff or do they think this actually motivates voters or does it motivate voters and they're onto something?
No, they don't really believe the stuff. The reason why I know they don't believe it is because they trust the American banks. They put their millions of dollars into them. They buy homes. They go shopping. They buy Louis Vuitton bags. They do all sorts of things. That's how I know they don't believe it. Because if you really believe that you were in a Jim Crow era and that white male, is it cisgender? I can't quite remember the term, but whatever it is, we're really after you and to take your stuff, then you would not invest in the country. You would not put your money there. And all of these individuals have two or three homes, so they don't believe it. They don't believe it at all. Their goal is political power at the end of the day.
That is said, you at least like to imagine with feminist groups, say, You'd at least like to imagine the lady or two at the top genuinely is there because she cares about the rights of women or something like that. But they're all just hacks, every one of these front groups?
Well, I actually think if they were hacks, that would be tolerable, right? Because a hack is just a person that really doesn't know what they're talking about. They're masquerading and they're pretending. These people know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly they're trying to take the old vestiges of race and turn individuals into victims and keep them victims and extract money from them and put them in their pockets, right? You see the emails coming from the Democrat Party. The emails are real simple. Hey, guess what? Send us $5, send us $10 today and help push back against the racism. I mean, this is like old crony televangelistic stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah, send $5 and we'll get you closer to Jesus. I know exactly which, and it's the exact same thing, 100%. All right, I'm actually doing a show, as we're talking right now, about the Constitution and stuff, yeah. And I'll be honest, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to do it because I don't know if I believe in it anymore, and this is what I mean. I mean, let me explain myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yes, it was a wonderful document. I think we have lied to ourselves that that piece of paper is going to protect us when the other side doesn't care about it at all. We talk about it all the time. I don't care if that thing was etched in stone by God himself. They would just break it up like Moses did the first time. They don't care about it, but we always bring it up. Why should I care about the Constitution?
Well, three things, Jesse. First of all, number one, you're absolutely correct. But I would say this. Let's not even talk about the other side. Let's talk about our side.
Okay.
When you have a Supreme Court that says, oh, yes, government can fundamentally force you to buy health care, and that was an intention of the founding framers, well, you know, we got a problem. When a court can say, oh, yes, you don't have any gun rights at all, none at all, right? And we're not going to enforce that. Then you have a problem. When the Supreme Court denies the fact that a Pennsylvania court overwrote the legislature when they said ballots had to be in within 3 days, and the judge in Pennsylvania said, no, it doesn't. It can be whatever the Secretary of State says it should be. And the court said, yeah, that's fine. We've got a problem on our own side. So when you say you don't believe in the Constitution and doesn't really matter, I'm almost with you because I doubt our own side. And then the second problem that you have is, although it should matter, for most people, it doesn't, because civil society and civics isn't taught in the classroom anymore. People don't even know the First Amendment. And this third part is, I've been telling Republicans this. When we want to argue something with censorship or any of this stuff, we need to talk about families. We need to talk about how when Facebook changes the algorithm, it puts 25, 30 families out of work. Yeah, it's a small news site. They only have 10,000 hits, and they get something viral every now and then. But when Facebook changes the rules of the game from when you signed up, real families suffer. If we learn to talk about real families, then we can make a pivot to Constitution. But for right now, I'm almost in agreement with you, man. People don't know the Constitution, not even our own side, even the judges on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget, I don't know what you're talking about, Autry. Don't you know those nine gods on the Supreme Court gave us permission to have church only up to 25%, which is, of course, what the founders wanted. Of course, it's not like the First Amendment's there at all. And I loved it. Half of our own side thought it was a win. They thought that was a win, that we got permission from the gods and the Supreme Court. I'm floored by it.
You're 100%. Think about it this way. Even slaves were allowed to have church. I want us to think about that for a moment. Even slaves, people who the court said, well, you're not really human, you're sort of maybe three-fifths of a human. Even when they got together to worship, the court said, even their master said, well, okay, you want to have church? We'll let you do that at least on Sunday. We'll let you do that. So if slaves can have church at that time, and now all of a sudden we're in 2021, and people can't voluntarily go to a service, we got major problems. And the least of which is individuals not knowing the First Amendment. Because the people that do know it, John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, the people that do know the Constitution refuse to stand up for it. I don't know the reason other than maybe they want to be buddy-buddy with their wine-toasting friends in D.C., or lockdown D.C., as they call it now.
Autry, when I hear stuff like what you and I just talked about when it comes to churches and such, mm-hmm. it makes me awfully nervous for the coming gun battles I know are coming, and you know they're coming. The left has wanted them forever.
Yeah.
They've never had the political clout to get them. I think they feel like they have enough momentum now to get something done, and you'll have to excuse me if I don't think the Supreme Court will be this absolute wall protecting my rights. I just don't have any faith in it anymore.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. I'll put it this way. The Supreme Court can't even get on the same page about a wall surrounding our borders, right? They have walls around D.C. right now, gates with barbed wire, razor wire, and we can't get on the same page about borders. So you can forget about guns, forget about religious rights, forget about the First Amendment. You know, just forget about it. And until the real solution, there's two solutions here, I really believe. The real solution is one, the repeal of the 17th Amendment, right? Getting states together to say, you know what, we want to have the direct election of senators. So that way states' rights are protected. I think that would help tremendously. It would help tremendously. And then, some people are going to be like, oh, no, it's the law. But I'm saying you need activist conservative judges that are willing to say, forget about precedent. If it's not constitutional, I'm voting against it every single time, and you just got to figure it out. It doesn't matter if it's been the law for 50 100%. Years. Figure it out. It's unconstitutional, period. End of sentence. Not 25%, not 30%, not strict scrutiny versus liability. Just, it's not constitutional. All of these little tests that the Supreme Court puts in there are academic exercises to make them feel better about themselves. They have nothing to do with the fact that an average, ordinary person should be able to take that document, read it, and understand it. And if you can't do that, then it's not constitutional. I'm sorry, end of sentence. It's a job for the states.
I agree. Autry Pruitt, I mean, I'd repeal the 19th Amendment, but that's just me. Autry, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on board.
All right, we'll be back. Remember this, the Constitution is nothing you need to sneer at. It was a wonderful document that gave us the laws. It gave us the foundation of laws that said, federal government, you can't do this. Federal government, you can't do that. Federal government, these are the things you're specifically allowed to do and nothing else. So it was wonderful. You don't need to sneer at it. But you need to remember, you're facing people who are completely unconcerned with it. Completely unconcerned with it. Don't think for a second you're going to pull out your pocket constitution and sway a single communist from destroying everything you love. They destroyed it specifically because you love it. That's what these people do. That's what you're up against. So just know, you're not going to be philosophical about how to beat the left. You're not going to win them over that way. You're not going to be able to scream, this is against the law. It doesn't work that way. They don't care. They're coming for it. If you want to get back to being a constitutional republic, well, what are you going to do about it? As I've said time and time and time again, don't tell me what you believe. Show me. All right, we'll do it again next week.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.